The text is the Gospel reading from St. Luke. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be called Great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. From Lisa Simpson accidentally creating tiny Lutherans to A Bug's Life to Gulliver and His Travels, smallness is captivating. But that's only once things have been put into perspective. You don't know how tiny the Lilliputians are till seen in comparison to normal-sized Gulliver. Likewise, you don't know how huge the Brobdingnagians are till Gulliver, who is our size, puts them into perspective. We only know smallness when it's put into perspective. Only then can we say it's a small thing. And even then, we might not know what we're saying. "Your God is Too Small" is a book written by Anglican clergyman J.B. Phillips in 1952. And surely that title is correct. We do make our God too small. "For nothing is impossible with God," says the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. With God, virgins can conceive, a universe can be created in 6 days, all sins paid for in 1 day, but bread can be body and wine can be blood. With God, the sun can stand still and even go backward. With God, it is possible for crimson sins to be white as snow, for black sheep to become white, for the dead to live, for the lame to walk, for the blind to see, and the weak to be strong. Nothing is impossible with God. No, nothing. There is a nuance in the Greek that the NIV, the ESV, the NASB, and even the King James translations, they don't pick it up. The American Standard Translation gets it right, translating, "For no word from God shall be void of power." But even that doesn't get it fully. It's not "no word from God shall be void of power." It's not the ordinary Greek word for word. It's rhema, which can mean word, but is better translated speech, matter, or thing. Also missing from translation is the all concept. Literally, it shall not be powerless with God all speech, matter, thing. By using that Greek word rhema rather than the normal one logos, God ties his limitless power to do things, to accomplish matters, to the fact that he speaks. I think this in itself convicts us of having too small of a God. How come? Aren't you amazed by all this voice-activated technology? Aren't you awed by the fact that you can tell your car to play a certain song, call a certain person, or map a certain route, and it obeys you? Why aren't we likewise overwhelmed by the word of God's power, by the word of God's power to activate? God spoke, and out of nothing came all this. God spoke, and holy men of God were moved to inscripturate his word. God spoke, and the second person of the Godhead was incarnated in the womb of a virgin. God speaks and gives his body for bread and his blood for wine. Don't you see how absolutely convicted, condemned, and sentenced we all are? I will sit in awe of what Steve Jobs created and don't give a second thought to the one who created Steve Jobs. I will play around with technology for hours, delighted by its intricacies, but my mind wanders after mere minutes in God's Word. I will practice. I will focus. I will study technology till I know it and can use it. Not only the fact that I can't say that about God's Word convicts me, but the fact that I'm not moved to even try. My God is too small. He just could not have left me all that He wills for me to know about Him in a book. It's the same with the miracles of incarnation and communion. If I really believe that no rhema was impossible with God, how differently I'd treat the virgin's womb, the manger, Mary's lap, Mary's babe, Christmas morning, and the season of Advent. If the rhema of God really was able to put all the fullness of the Godhead in Christ, as Colossians says, then the proverb is absolutely true. No Jesus, no God. No Jesus, no God. I'd be studying the baby Jesus like the first time parents study their newborn if I really took God at His word. Every finger, every toe, every dimple and hair on baby Jesus would be an absolute miracle. Here in this baby is the invisible God visible for me. And if God's speech could really cause bread to be the same body that was given on the cross and wine to be the same blood that was shed there, how I would thrill, how I would rejoice, how I would give thanks for Holy Communion. I'm amazed when voice-activated technology answers me in a human voice. But I'm nonchalant, I'm blasé. I'm unamazed when God answers my cry for fellowship and forgiveness, my cry of decaying and dying with His body and bread and His blood and wine. He answers my cries with words made visible. We really don't see that we've made our God too small until something pops it into perspective. At the beginning of the New Deal in the 30s, there were some who wanted to bring the crisis of the Great Depression all down on big banking. It happened that a circus was in town during governmental hearings. Part of the circus was a woman named Lia Graff. At 27 inches tall, she was reputed to be the smallest woman in the world. She was out and about, and a reporter asked her if she would like to meet the venerable J.P. Morgan. When introduced, being the gentleman that he was, he stood to shake her hand. When he sat back down, someone plopped little Lia on Morgan's lap, and a picture was snapped. That picture sealed the argument. Ordinary people were nothing but small fry in the hands of big banking. We are J.P. Morgan in that picture. God is Lia Graff. Rather than Him having the whole world in His hands, we put Him in ours. He's too small to act, to help, to do. His word is no more powerful than ours. His speech doesn't move matter, time, or space. No, it moves as much as we think possible, and that's precious little. You know how at this time of year, it's a big horror when a kid or an elf or even an adult doesn't believe in Santa's power. Oh, that we would have such shock when we're confronted with the fact that we have made our God too small. Of course, at this time of year, it's also true that our God is not small enough. Soar into the heavens with me. Go out of our solar system, galaxy, to infinity and beyond. Go to the very throne room of God. Go from God Most High to man, to boy, to infant, and know you are still not small enough. Go smaller still to fetus, to blastocyst, to zygote. Then go to the Sawyer Brown song, The Walk, and lines that go, "Don't worry, boy, it'll be all right, because I took this walk you're walking now. Boy, I've been in your shoes." There's no place that you have been that God in the person of Jesus has not been before. There's no place, situation, ordeal you will face that your God hasn't been there first. Those temptations to misbelief and unbelief that you know so well Jesus descended from heaven to go through for you. Where you and I regularly disdain the Word of God in writing, in person, and in bread and wine, Jesus never once doubted that with God all things were possible. Jesus has been through all things in your life and in your head and in your heart too. Others can share what's going on in your life, but the heart only knows its own bitterness and the head its own terrors. Except for the God who became small enough to enter our thoughts, our feelings, our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our despairs. He not only knows yours, He endured yours and did so without sinning even once. God took on flesh and blood in the virgin's womb to walk the walk we're not walking now, to be in our shoes. But our shoes were caked with mud, the mud of lust, pride, greed, unbelief, worry, lies, and much more. Someone was going to have to answer for the filth that we tracked into God's house. And God followed the tracks. He followed the tracks right up to Jesus. And there He stood in our shoes, not saying it wasn't His mud, not rightly stating He didn't do it, but accepting God's righteous judgment and punishment. Jesus paid all that was required to satisfy the holy wrath of God. Your God is not small enough if you have Him in the person of Jesus as above the pain and punishment. No, God the Son made Himself so small as to be easily manhandled. It would be impossible for God the Son to suffer the hunger, the thirst, the pain, the death our muddy shoes rightly deserve if He didn't allow it to happen to Him. Without His willing acceptance of the suffering we deserve, the birds themselves would have brought Him bread and meat as they did Elijah. The water would have come out of the rocks to give Him drink as it did for Moses. It would be impossible for nails to puncture the flesh of God as it is for them to puncture the flesh of Superman if God had not allowed it to happen. It would be absolutely impossible to take life from God if God Himself did not give it. Your God is not small enough. You've got to hear Him in every syllable of every word He speaks to you. He's small enough to be at work in every syllable of absolution, sending your sins away from you. He's small enough to be at work in every molecule of baptismal water, drowning the old sinful Adam and bringing to life the new man. Your God is so small that all of Him can fit in the bread and wine on that altar and be given to you to eat and drink for forgiveness, for life, for salvation. But you know, when things work at the cellular or molecular level, they often scare us. Cancer works at the cellular level and radiation at the molecular level. At this small of a level, one little change here or there can produce radical changes. Things that work at this small of a level are very powerful and not well understood by men. Our God, with whom nothing is impossible for His speech to do, work, or give, is big enough to use small things in beneficial ways. So, with Mary we can answer, "We are Thy servants, Lord. Let it be to us as You have." And here again we have the word rhema. "Let it be to us according to the rhema of Thee." Amen. Now, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.